You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
See you. Have you ever been out of step? Like just been off a little bit? Like, for example, like has anyone ever been in marching band? Do we have any marching band folks? Yeah. Okay. We got a few marching band. So like you practice. I wasn't in marching band. But I got experience watching some marching bands living in Columbus, Ohio for a while, the Ohio State University marching band. And they, you know, you watch them do their thing, and it's amazing. It's amazing. You're washing up, and they're making all these formations. And if you're, I'm assuming all you marching band people, like, if you get out of step, if one person gets off, like, the whole thing kind of gets messed up, right? Like, everyone is, like, off, and it just doesn't look as pretty from the stands, right? And sometimes you could bump into someone, and your horn crashes or whatever. Or how many of you ever been... How many of you ever been in a play or a musical? We have any theater folks? Yeah, okay. Same thing. I did that. I was actually a theater minor in college, and I was not very good with choreography. I know that's hard to believe. Like, I look like a dancer. But I would often get my steps wrong, and next thing I know, I'm banging into someone or prop, and I'm off. I'm just off. And if you get off a little bit, it's like almost impossible to get caught up, right? You're like, oh, shoot, I got to go through all the moves and stuff and try to get caught up with everybody else. You know, you get a few steps off from everyone around you and you become a problem, right? And for those of you who aren't in this sort of the artsy or the music, maybe for you science folks, you get off step. In physics, we have having the same frequency, but like different phases, different phases. I'm not a science guy. I just had to pull that out. Hopefully that makes sense, right? But something is off. Something's off. You feel it. Like things are out of step. Sometimes I actually feel like our country's a little out of step. It's been a hard week, hasn't it? Each day, I'm just going to throw a few things at you here. Each day, 12 children die from gun violence in America. Guns are the leading cause of death among American children and teens right now. The U.S. has had 2,032 school shootings since 1970. Since the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in December of 2012, there have been 948 school shootings. Now, the FBI defines a mass murder as four or more people murdered during a single event without a cooling off period is what they call it. 288, that's the number, 288 mass shootings within a school in the United States. Mass shootings. The next closest country to this is Mexico with 8. South Africa with 6. India, 5. The United States, 288. This is uniquely an American crisis. We're walking out of step. Something is terribly wrong. Something is terribly wrong. We walk out of step. Now, the people in Galatia, they started to kind of walk out of step. In the Bible, they began to be influenced by others that were polluting the gospel message, that the gospel message was only for a certain type of person. And Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians, and he was concerned that people were beginning to walk out of step. See, I think it starts kind of slow. We walk out of step a little bit, and pretty soon we've got major issues, and we don't even know it. And we don't even know it. And so Paul, he's not appealing to people's heart in this book. He's speaking to their minds. He's speaking to sort of your doctrine belief here. This is what it means to be a Christian, is what he's saying. So he's not appealing to your heart. He's appealing to your mind. And in Galatians 5, 16 through 26, it says this. He says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." See, I think life is a walk. Many of you have been around here and know that I had a pastor once that almost annoyingly would tell us all the time, like, life is a walk. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. And they would say it all the time. But it really is true. It is left foot, right foot. And when it comes to this walk in our life, I think we're all a little disabled as a result of the sin in our life. We all need help. We all need an intervention. And at some point, we choose, notice I say at some point, you will, if you haven't already, you choose like the wrong intervention. For some of us, we only have experienced the wrong intervention. So I recently, literally like a few days ago, went camping with Ben. And we went camping, and it was awesome. We had a great time. And we went for a hike our first night, and it was starting to get dark. I'm laughing because he does not know I'm telling this story. And when this happened, I laughed so hard for really no reason. It was just a moment. You just had to be there. But I'm going to tell the story anyway. It was getting dark, and we realized we needed to pick up the pace because we did not have flashlights with us. We left it at the campsite. Because that's what you do, right? Let's go on a hike. Oh, let's not bring any flashlights. We did a lot of things wrong. Anyway, we had a blast. So we're picking up the pace. And we kind of start to run a little bit. And Ben, he starts to run and tries to go a little faster than me. And he thinks, you know, I'm gonna show this old man what's up. And the truth of the matter is, he couldn't keep up because I passed him. And I kept going, and he didn't have the stamina to keep going. I knew he was behind me, but I knew he was going further and further behind me, and I kept going and going and going. He's like, "Stop that! Stop! Stop!" Right? And then finally, eventually, I kind of hide behind a tree and try to scare him when he comes close, but he saw me because I can't hide behind a tree. Anyway, he gets there, and this is the funny part, I thought. He goes, "Man, if only I had an inhaler." And I'm like, "An inhaler? You don't have asthma." He goes, no, "I need an inhaler. It gives you energy. The energy inhaler." I'm like, "That's not what an inhaler is. Like, an inhaler is for people who have, like, asthma. They have problems breathing. That's not what you don't need an inhaler. You need to move your body more. Like, you're out of shape. Like, you need to move, right? You get out from behind the screen. You need to do stuff, right?" And our flesh often sort of chooses the wrong intervention, right? We often choose the wrong intervention, or we're even confused of what that intervention really does. We don't even have an idea. It sounds like a good idea. Feels good. I want energy. I'll try this inhaler. Wrong thing, right? But we all need an intervention. Paul talks about what causes us to walk out of step. He calls it, and in Galatians, in verse 19, I'm going to pick it up where it says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and even drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." So he kind of lays a whole lot of stuff out there, right? We cannot manage this walk alone. We think certain things are going to help us on this walk. And the truth is, we don't need an inhaler to give us energy. We don't need some of these intervention to make this walk happen. Now, what's cool about this, if you're looking at the text, it helps you rediscover the power of the semicolon when you're working on your sermon, because it actually these verses I just read to you chunks together some things with a semicolon. So here there are groupings of things happening in this text that I just read to you that cause us to walk out of step. So the first one, the sexual fleshy part of this text. And if you were part of any men's Christian conference in the 80s or 90s, this is all we talked about. Or youth group, right? Yeah, or youth group, right? You're part of a youth group, you talk about this. You're part of any sort of men's ministry conference. All we talked about was the first chunk of this semicolon is sexual sin. And I don't need to tell you, if you lived in that case, in that world, that it's surprising that we talk so much about it, yet it's still a problem, right? It's still a problem. It didn't go away. Like, in some ways, in some circles, it got worse, right? So talking didn't work, is what I'm trying to say to you. So it didn't work. So meanwhile, sexual decisions, indulgences that are immoral, cheating, physical, emotional cheating, pornography, lust, these are not necessary interventions that are going to help us on a walk. More porn is not the answer. It's not the intervention that you think is going to help you. It's just not. It causes you to walk out of step. Little by little, of course, we get lost. Little by little, out of step. The next sort of semicolon that it talks about is the idolatry and witchcraft. Putting yourself or someone or something higher than God. Putting someone or something higher than Jesus is choosing to completely walk in another direction with something other than God. We are really good at this. We're really good at this. We can make idols of all kinds of things, can't we? We make idols of people, hobbies, politics, even causes. We make an idol. Even causes that before too long are leading us, taking our time and our money, and they cause us to walk out of step. We get stuck and can no longer take another step in our walk. Sometimes we get so caught up in sort of the power hungry that we can create through this idol that we stop walking. We're stuck and we don't grow. The next chunk that he's put together is hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy. These are all actions against someone else, actions against another. And we are really good at this. We are really good. We are so good at these, creating sides, right? Division. Winning and losing, us and them, pro and con, so good. It's like, man, we can hang out here for a long time. And it is these actions against one another that we lose sight of our walk completely. We no longer remember where we're going, how we're taught to get there, and who we're walking with. We get so caught up in the right. That's what matters most, is the right. I'm right. You're wrong. And we get caught up in that. And we get out of step, out of sync. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like, that's the next section. That sort of idea of excessiveness, excessive indulgence. I remember a time when I didn't understand what excessive indulgence meant. And it involves ice cream. I mean, I don't understand what too much is when it comes to ice cream. Rebecca knows that I have diabetes, but yet there's always ice cream in our freezer, and I have no control. I have no control. If there is ice cream in the house, I will eat it. And I will not just have a bowl. I will eat all of it. And then the question in my house is, how come you eat all the ice cream? You ate all of that. I go, well, it's here. It's here. Like, we bought it to eat. I ate it. I did what I was supposed to do. But not all of it, right? And the other issue is, like, not only do I have diabetes, but, like, I have a lactose issue. Not a good combination at all, at all. And so that idea of excessive indulgence became true to me as I realized I have a lactose issue and I really shouldn't be eating really ice cream at all. But I couldn't control myself. It's an overindulgence. Now, I'm telling you this in a very simple example. But your mind can go to where you overindulge. Where you overindulge and that affects you even more to be out of step, right? I want it all and I want it now, sort of the attitude for that chunk, right? I want it all, I want it now. I don't want to walk. I want to ride in a Ferrari and I want to go fast and hard, right? There's something to the idea of the walking too. Like, if you've flown anywhere, like we took a trip to California to drop off our son and we flew there. And we got there fast, and it was great, and we got to L.A., and we got to experience L.A. But one time we drove from Milwaukee to California, and the experience of I'm relating that to the walk, the slowness, to be present to the things going on in the car and all of the things around you, you don't see what you see in a car from a plane. Like, you get up in the clouds and then you see the clouds and that's cool, but then an hour later you look out the window and you just see more clouds, you know. But when you were in the car, with every turn as you walk and you're present, I remember literally driving and going, oh my gosh, waking everybody up, we gotta pull over, take a picture of that. And then like 5 minutes later down the road, oh, look at that, that's amazing, we gotta pull over and take a picture of that mountain. Like, I was that guy. Like, every like 5 miles I had to stop and like wanted to take a picture of something. But there's something about being present in the walk, right? Being present in the walk, being present in the drive, you're paying attention to all of these wonderful, amazing gifts around you. And when we go so hard and so fast, we miss it. We miss it. We miss it. There's something beautiful about being present, especially as we walk in step with the Spirit. We usually pick the wrong intervention for the walk, for our life, and we find ourselves out of step. And we all do this. We all do this. And it may seem small at first, but usually it leads to us either falling behind, being left, or running straight off a cliff. So what does it look like for us to actually walk with the Spirit? I think sometimes when we look at this text, there's a few things that a lot of preachers and a lot of teachers will focus on. Is one is they're going to focus on just the sexual immorality piece, and they're going to stay there, and they're going to miss all that other stuff. And then the second thing is they're just going to focus on all the stuff, all the bad stuff that is going to get you out of step. But I think we also need to focus on, well, okay, we get that, but how do we actually walk in step with the Spirit? How do we actually do it? What does it actually look like, right? If this thing is so great, what does it actually look like? So in Galatians 22, we read this. Verse 22, he continues, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, the Galatians, they were concerned that being a Christian would actually cause them to break their laws in their community, because they were under rule of the Romans at the time, who were ruling over Galatia. And so they were fearful that, oh, if I'm a Christian, I'm going to break the law. And Paul is saying, no. That's not the case here. Those who belong in Christ Jesus, he continues, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So this is something we all need to work on. There's not a person in this room, in this neighborhood, anywhere that doesn't need to work on this. We all need to work on this. But here's the deal. We all need an intervention. We all need an intervention to walk this life. Jesus is our intervention. He is our intervention. We are saved by his grace through faith alone. The Holy Spirit is kind of like our aid in this walk. We literally live by what the Spirit is doing. Many of you know that I have a special needs daughter, and we have home health aides. And, you know, we have to aid her in a lot of different ways. We aid her to walk. We hold her hands, and she can walk. She can take steps. If we don't hold her hand, she can't. The Holy Spirit is literally holding our hand as we walk this walk of life together. We're in step with the Spirit. With the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our aid. When we walk with the Spirit, the results are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We need to understand this with our minds, right? We need to understand this with our minds. This is something we can't discern with feelings, okay? When we try to figure this out as we're walking this journey, I can't go, oh, you know what? I really feel like I need to overindulge in my ice cream, you know, or whatever it is for you, right? Whatever your indulgence is that's written in the text above, right? But I need that discernment. I need to know with my mind that, hey, I know where this leads. I'm walking with the Holy Spirit. I know that that is not the answer for me. That is going to lead me this direction. And I've tried that before, and after I'm done eating the bowl of ice cream, all I feel is shame, right? This is the result of that. I need to know that with my mind because my heart will deceive me in this. It feels good. I want to do it, right? I need to know with my mind that this is how I walk with the Spirit. Left foot, right foot. This is doctrine. This is who I am. I'm a Christian. I know the benefits of that is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We walk with the Holy Spirit. We're in step with the Spirit. That requires us to be in step with the Spirit at all times. This means that we are present to what the Spirit in our life is doing at all times, good and bad, big and small. We are to engage the Spirit into everything. And I mean, what does that look like? What does that mean, everything? Does that mean I have to engage the Spirit of what color socks I put on today? I mean, no, but a lot of people I talk to, they say, hey, I pray about like the Holy Spirit when it comes to like big things, like a move or a job, you know, is this something that the Spirit wants me to do? And there's other people that don't. It's kind of funny. Like they're like, oh, I'm going for a new job. I'm like, and they're a follower of Jesus. I'm like, have you prayed about it? Like, have you thought about like, is this something that the Holy Spirit is walking with you? And I haven't thought about that yet, but I really like how much it's going to make me. I'm going to make a lot of money. It's great, but what about the Holy Spirit? What's the Holy Spirit saying about that? Or picking a college. Like, is the Holy Spirit guiding you, walking you in steps? So sometimes we do that with big picture stuff, but then the little stuff sometimes we don't think about, right? I'm just living my life normal day to day. Day to day. Are you inviting the Holy Spirit into that day? And true confession, this is something that I struggle with too sometimes. In work, I go and I'm not thinking about what the Holy Spirit is going to walk me, where the Holy Spirit's going to walk me today. I'm thinking about, man, I hope I get all my data entry in and I hope there's room on the shelter call. And I'm not thinking about anything else. But what that looks like when I invite the Holy Spirit into my day is I'm saying, all right, Lord, help me pay attention what you're doing. What are you doing around me today? What are you doing around me? Help me see what you see. Help me hear what you hear as I walk through this day in the little things. So when I do that regularly, I take steps with the Holy Spirit. What's amazing is, God, I promise you this, God will highlight people in front of you, around you. He will highlight things to you. Sometimes you just have just a sweet moment with just the Holy Spirit, and he's not highlighting anybody else. It's just a sweet moment for you. It's just a sweet moment for you. We went camping, and I had a sweet moment by the lake. The sun was setting, And I was like, Holy Spirit, what's going on? You know. And then the sun set, and I looked up, and there's just this beautiful moment just for me. It was great. It was great. I wasn't focused on the fact that we couldn't catch any fish. I was focused on the fact that, I was having this beautiful moment that the Holy Spirit walked me to. So it's just being in tune. It's like walking with a friend and experiencing life with a friend, with an actual person. And the person is the Holy Spirit. And it's paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is doing on a daily basis in my life. And when we don't do that, that's when we start walking out of step. That's when we bang our trombone into the cornetist, or we get the choreography wrong and we kick over a prop, right? Or we do that science thing with phases that I don't understand, right? That's when things slowly get out of step. And as we go down that path and we get confused and we're following our sort of feelings and heart, and we get a little lost. But we have to look at our mind and see what the Holy Spirit is doing. And this is what I believe, and this is what I want more of. And I want to be in tune and in step with what the Holy Spirit is doing. Left foot, right foot, I'm taking the walk. We walk with the Holy Spirit. It's also really helpful that Paul reminds us that, we all need sort of a Paul in our life too. See, the people in Galatia, they were sort of doing this stuff, and they were starting to walk out of step. And then Paul came and goes, hey, let me write you a letter. You know, I'm hearing some things. Let me write you a letter and remind you, you need to get back on track. So we can't do this alone. We need the Holy Spirit, and then we also need somebody else. We need family. We need people around us. I often talk about we need to live life horizontally this way and vertically, right? So the Holy Spirit, we're living life vertically. And then horizontally, we need to live life with each other. And the way that we do that here at Vineyard Milwaukee is we have life groups that can help you in your walk, right? We have circles. How many of you are still in a circle, by the way? Oh, yeah. My circle's all here representing. So I love it. I love it. I love my circle. I'm not going to lie. Like, if you don't have one, start one. Yeah, I mean, they are so good. It's so good. And you want a group of people that you can engage with everything that's going on in your life. That you can talk about. You know, you can go there and you can be mad. I can talk to my guys and be mad. I can be angry. I can be saying I've had a bad day, right? And usually what happens is you start to realize that maybe I'm walking out of step a little bit. I know a lot, there's some other people here that are in other groups, like accountability groups and things like that. And it's groups that just sort of help us as we start to step out of step. It's bumping in the right direction. Like, hey, man, it's helpful to have that. So to walk with the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit into your daily life, but then also have faithful friendships around you to go, hey, you don't need an inhaler, dude. What you do need is you need to, like, ask the Holy Spirit to help you out, okay? That's the intervention you need. Relationships have to be honest about what's happening in you and around you every step of the way. Let's stand. Rebecca told me I had to keep this short this week. I went too long last week. But as we move to ministry time, and what that means, for those of you who are maybe new in the room, ministry time is that we're going to worship some more, and then we're going to offer people prayer. And the way we do prayer is we have some folks in the back, to my left, your right, that would love to pray for you. And they're back there by the offering box. And if you want to receive prayer, you just go and say, hey, I want prayer. And they'll help you walk you through that. But there's sort of two groups that I feel like God's highlighting today. And the one group is feeling like, hey, I don't really invite the Holy Spirit into my day. I don't. I go to work, I do my thing, I go to school, I do my thing. And I know I've been in church for a while, and I think, you know, church is a good thing, but, like, I don't know. There's this sort of, you're having a hard time with this idea of what it looks like to walk with the Holy Spirit daily. And maybe you just haven't asked them or figured out where you are in all that. There's some confusion there, maybe. I really feel like the Holy Spirit has been kind of going after you, and you've been sort of just kind of doing your own thing. And I think if you're part of that group, I feel like what God wants to do is wants to pray for you. Yeah, I mean, we want to pray for you that like the Holy Spirit becomes just real, just a real thing. Like not just in theory, not just a good thing on Sunday, not just because this is what my parents think or my family thinks. Like, this is for me. I want to try walking with the Holy Spirit for me and actually see what that looks like. And so that's the first group. And then the second group, I feel like kind of addressing of the horizontal piece. Like, you're doing this church thing, you're doing life, and you're engaging the Holy Spirit, you're walking with the Holy Spirit, but you're also doing it alone, and you're finding yourself tripping along the way and misstepping and getting off the path a little bit every once in a while, and you really need some people around you as well, just to support and pray for you and to be that listening ear. And if you're a person that doesn't have that type of community around you, and I'm not talking community in big sense, like big church, you know, I'm talking about like two or three people that you can really, like, are speaking into your life and you're speaking into their lives, and it's a mutual thing. And I feel like there's some people in the room that just don't have that. And I would love for you to receive prayer today, because I think that's a gift, and I think that's a gift that God can do. God can bring people alongside of you to walk with you. We're not made to do this alone. We're made to do this together. Yeah? So as we worship, if either of those two groups speak to you, go back, receive prayer. We've got Adrian, Riley, and I'm sure there'll be some other people back there that would love to pray for you. And then if there's anything else, if you feel like, hey, I need prayer for something totally different, Dave, cool, we'll do that too. We'd love to pray for just about anything. It's one of the main reasons why we're here, is to engage God, right? Okay, let's worship.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.